mission.
No, this is an envelope.
We're all gonna die!
I don't know anything!
Do you think I'm an idiot? Really? This is the most important scene and your cell phone rings? This is why we don't make movies.
Why is it still counting?
Change. We are changed. We're gonna change the way we run. We're gonna change the way we eat. We're gonna change the way we block. We're gonna change the way we tackle. We're gonna change the way we win.
Defense is desire. Fire!
Stop him, Campbell.
Yeah, I love me a little contact, Petey. This is left side. Strong side!
Left side!
Strong side!
Left side!
Strong side!
Let me ask you something, Mr. Campbell. What kind of power you got?
Oh, man, you know I got some soul power.
What kind of power you got?
What kind of question is that? I got soul power.
Yes, you do.
Right on. Let me ask you something now, Mr. Curtier.
Yes.
How strong are you?
I'm too strong.
What? How strong?
I'm too strong. Too strong.
Right on,
I want a victory.
I want a victory.
I want a victory.
Respect, you demanded more of us. You demanded perfection. Now, I ain't saying that I'm perfect, because I'm not, and I ain't gonna never be. None of us are. But we have won every single game we have played till now. So this team is perfect. We stepped out on that field that way tonight, and if it's all the same to you, Coach Boone, that's how we want to leave it.
All right. Now, I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night! And if they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm gonna take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Leave no doubt!
Movies that when I'm flipping through the channels and Remember the Titans is on, I don't care what else is on, I'm stopping. I'm going to watch it until the rest of the movie. Do I have anybody else who does the exact same thing? What an incredible movie. It's based on a true story of the integration of T.C. Williams High School in Alexandria, Virginia in 1971. Is there anybody here that was alive in 1971? I'm glad you're still alive. God bless you. Anybody born after 1971, let me hear from you. That's what I thought. All right, but back in those days, in the olden days, tensions were running pretty high, especially on the football team, when a black man, Herman Boone, played by Denzel Washington, is brought in to be the new head coach of this team, and he was demoted, the previously successful white coach, Bill Yost, played by Will Patton, to an assistant position. So, like any championship team or a team that has a championship pedigree, they had to overcome some obstacles. some challenges. They had to overcome integration, for one. I want you to think about it. Three separate high schools combined into one, and out of that comes a football team. Imagine if Whiteland and Greenwood and Center Grove, they all came together to form one team. Anybody think that would be fun? Now, there might be a little bit of a learning curve, new faces, new schemes, new everything, but that's exactly what happened to T.C. Williams. And they had to overcome the loss of their best defensive player. All-American linebacker Gary Brutier was paralyzed in a car accident. And remember, it was noted in the movie, but it did actually happen that they lost their quarterback to an injury as well. And let me just stop to say, it seems like every championship team has to overcome some kind of injury. They come together. And they also had to overcome themselves. There was some pride going on. There were some selfish attitudes. Me first, I'm going to get mine attitude. But the biggest obstacle they had to overcome as a team was racism and prejudice. And that's what I want to spend the bulk of my time talking to you about here today, because racism is a big deal. It's the belief that all members of one race are superior to another race or races. So racism and prejudice causes all kinds of problems in any context that we talk about. Sports, it causes in family, education, business, and we definitely know it causes issues in politics. So the problems of racism and prejudice are vividly portrayed in this film.
That summer, a black teenager was killed by a white store owner, and the city was on the verge of exploding.
You've caused enough damage. This is my store.
Listen up. I don't care if you're black, green, blue, white, or orange. I want all of my defensive players on this side, all players going out for offense over here, right now. Let's move. Let's move. Let's move. Let's move. You and you, offensive bus, sit together. You and you, defensive bus, sit together. Get comfortable, too. Because the person that I have you sitting next to is the same one that you'll be rooming with for the duration of this camp.
Hey, wait your turn, boy. You go before the crap.
Julius, this is Emma.
Camp over now, huh? Back to the real world, Bertia. This is what they integrating us for? We'd have been better off staying where we were.
Here comes Coon!
Get your back!
Anybody know what this place is? This is Gettysburg. This is where they fought the Battle of Gettysburg. 50,000 men died right here on this field, fighting the same fight that we're still fighting amongst ourselves today. This green field right here, painted red, bubbling with blood, young boys, smoke, and hot lead pouring right through their bodies. Listen to their souls, man. I killed my brother with malice in my heart. Hatred destroyed my family. You listen. Take a lesson from the dead. If we don't come together right now on this hollow ground, we too will be destroyed.
Just like they were.
I don't care if you like each other or not, but you will respect each other. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you won't. Learn to play this game like men.
Racism destroys people. Did you know that racism is responsible for almost every genocide in history? The most famous example of racism is probably Adolf Hitler, whose final solution for the Jewish people resulted in the murder of at least 6 million Jews in the Holocaust. Did you know in World War II, the Japanese justified their nation's aggression, which included an attack on Pearl Harbor, because they believed they were the most highly evolved race on the earth? So you could say that World War II was fought and many people died because of racism. Racism in Europe has resulted in bitter struggles and bloodshed between the Serbs and the Croatians, even though they occupy the same land. There are many examples, including the Ku Klux Klan, who justify their racism based on their thought that they are a more evolutionary, advanced Aryan race. Sadly, racism is part of our nation's history as well. Now, even though we are the only nation in all of history who have ever gone to war to free slaves, and our Constitution was written from the basis that all men are created equal, still, racism is part of our lives. We see its effects in our culture, even in 2015. We saw the recent riots in Baltimore that caused millions of dollars in damage. Ferguson, Missouri, Freddie Gray, Black Lives Matter, they're all part of the national conversation going on right now about race. And regardless of which side of these particular events you stand, all of us have to admit that ethnic hatred and violence remain as burning issues of our time and our land. According to a CBS News New York Times poll in July of this year, nearly 60% of Americans, including large majorities of both blacks and whites, say race relations in the United States are generally bad. Almost 40% say they're getting worse. Billions of dollars are spent fighting it. Oprah devotes entire programs to it. Presidents bring in consultants to talk about it. Everyone seems to be wrestling with this idea of racial prejudice, yet the solutions seem to evade us. Money's not going to solve the problem. Education's not going to solve the problem. And clearly a great movie is not going to solve the problem either. So what's the answer? Is there any solution at all? Well, there is one verse in the Bible that I believe wipes out every motive for racism. It's just one verse, and it's found in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. Look at what it says. God hath made of one blood, everybody say one blood. God hath made of one blood all nations, Americans, Chinese, Africans, all nations, one blood of men for to dwell all the face of the earth. So the Bible says everybody that's ever been created are from one blood, one man, Adam. Are you with me today? Now, everybody say one blood, one team. This one verse says we are all related to each other. You are my brother from another mother. Turn to somebody near you and say, it looks like we're related. Everybody can trace their lineage back to Adam, one blood. About 6,000 years ago, God created a perfect world, and he fashioned the first two humans, Adam and Eve. And listen, the Bible says they were created in God's image. And God gave Adam the task of taking care of all God's creation. So after the flood, God restates his plan with Noah and his three sons. So according to the Bible, all the people of the earth, that's you and that's me, are descended from one of Noah's three sons, who are descended from the first man, Adam. So we all share the same bloodline. One blood, one team. We're all brothers, we're all sisters, siblings and cousins in the same family. We're all created by God, all formed in the image of God, Genesis 2:7 says. We're all made from the dust of the ground. After all, it's just dirt. Some of us paint our dirt. Some of us spray deodorant on our dirt. But after all, it's just dirt. God made us from the dust of the ground, every single one of us. And the Bible says that God does love us all because John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son. Am I in the right place here today? Now listen, there's only one race, Adam's race. And Adam's race includes black people and white people, all human beings, everywhere. Now, how many of you have ever heard the song, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world? Now, don't you regret singing an inaccurate song your entire life? What are you talking about? Because there's no such thing as red or yellow or black and white. Can I tell you, I want to show you from the Bible, and I want to show you scientifically, we are all basically the same color. All human beings basically have the same pigment called melanin, and although there are a couple different forms of melanin and other factors playing minor roles in skin color, every human being is basically the same color. Right? Lots of brown is called black. A little brown color is called white. In actuality, no human is really black and no human is really white because there are not different colors. There are only different shades of the same brown. Everybody say, I'm brown. Now, if you're a redhead, you still have melanin in your skin. Remember, this is a sermon about prejudice. Don't be prejudiced. All right. if you're a redhead, you still have melanin in your skin. What makes you look a little different is the fact that your blood vessels are closer to the surface of your skin than anybody else. Now, you can interpret that any way you'd like to. That's just scientifically the way it works. Okay? Now, the only true white people are albinos. People who are born with a genetic mutation that makes them unable to produce melanin. It's kind of like we're all recipes for a cake. We all have the same ingredients, but in different amounts. And so no matter what kind of cake we turn out to be, we're all made from the same stuff. Say it with me. One blood, one team. Every human being in the world is classified in the same scientific classification, Homo sapiens. Scientists today agree that there's really only one biological race of humans. Modern genetics has clearly proven that our differences, few as they might be, are no deeper than our skin. Watch this. Geneticists, he says, take any two people from anywhere in the world, the basic genetic differences between these two people would typically be around 0.2%, even if they came from the same people group. Racial characteristics account for only about 6% of this 0.2% variation. That means that the racial genetic variation between human beings of different race is a mere 0.012%. Wars have been fought over 0.012%. Lives have been destroyed because of 0.012%. We are not different. We are the same. Our physical differences are merely the result of different combinations of physical features that God put in the same gene pool at creation with Adam. Now, did you know that if a Native American person is looking for a tissue match or an organ transplant, for instance, that the best match might actually come from an Asian person or from an Australian Aborigine? We're all the same. The only reason many people think these differences are major is because they've been brought up in a culture that has been taught to see everybody differently. Racism is a learned trait. One blood, one team. The American Association for the Advancement of Science in 1997 stated, race is a social construct derived mainly from the perceptions conditioned by the events of recorded history, and it has no basic biological reality. There is no science that says we're different. Go to the next one here. It says, more and more scientists, this is from the American ABC News science page, more and more scientists find that the differences that set us apart are cultural, not racial. Some even say that the word race should be abandoned because it's meaningless. Now, I know some people who are entrenched in this, they might say, you know what? I believe we're all one race when you can show me two black people having a white baby or two white people having a black baby. Well, let me show you something even better. Twins. These are twins. Same father, same mother. One has a darker shade of melanin, which we would call black. One has a lighter shade of melanin, which we would call white. And you know what? That's not just a one-time occurrence. There are many historical occurrences of this happening, of fraternal twins being black and white. You see them listed here. What am I trying to say? We're all one race, one blood, one team. Are you with me today? Now, science supports what the Bible has said all along. We are one blood. We are all descendants of Adam and Eve, and thus one biological race exists, Adam's race. When the Human Genome Project published a draft of its findings in 2000, the New York Times reported that the researchers had unanimously declared there is only one race, the human race. So, if the Bible says it, science proves it, where did racism come from? Where did all of this separation come from? Well, how many of you have ever heard of a guy by the name of Charles Darwin? Anybody ever heard of Charles Darwin? Darwin wrote a book in 1859 called The Origin of the Species, and he was famous for rejecting the Bible and God's account of creation and creating this idea of evolutionary processes. But I want you to notice on his book, The Origin of Species, you see the title here, but there is a subtitle to his book that most of us have never heard before, but it's right there on the cover. And it's a little blurry there, so I pulled it out so you can see it. The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Darwin was a racist. Matter of fact, in his book, he refers to people with different skin color as him with words like savage or low or degraded to describe American Indians, pygmies, and almost every other ethnic group whose physical appearance was different than his. You got it. Although racism did not begin with Darwin, I'm not saying that. I believe that Darwin and the theory of evolution has done more than any person to popularize racism. Now, I want you to notice something. It's interesting to note that when you depart from the accounts of God's word, when you depart from the truth of God's word, as Darwin did, by rejecting God's account of creation in Genesis, you get racism. You get hatred and violence that goes with it. Because racism is one of the symptoms of a sinful heart that results when we stray away from the righteous standards of a holy and loving God. See, the good news is, we can overcome racism with God's help. And when we do, good things can happen.
Congratulations, Coach.
All right, thank you, Coach.
You did a good job.
Thank you.
no football. What you did with those boys. You were the right man for the job, coach.
You're Hall of Fame in my book.
The Titans finished the season undefeated with a 13-0 record, including 9 shutouts. That's amazing. And during the undefeated season, they outscored their opponents by a 357-45 margin. I'm believing that kind of victory margin will be for the Colts beginning today. Can I get a witness in the house of that? If you have another opinion about that, we'll have an altar call in a few minutes. I'll pray for you. They overcame their differences, and they not only won a state championship, but they unified an entire city. I wonder what would happen if every football team present today determined that they were going to put aside their differences, put aside their selfishness, their petty jealousies, and determined to play as one team. I know what would happen. You would have the best season you've ever had. Some might even win a championship if you come together. Let me ask you a different question. What could happen in our community if we came together in 2015? Instead of being separated by skin color or culture, we determined that we were going to treat everybody that we knew with respect and love. What if we intentionally built relationships with Caucasians, with Hispanics, with Punjabis, with anybody, with African Americans? Are you with me today? What if we said it's not going to exist in our community and in our city? Am I in the right place today? One family, one blood, one team. How amazing would that be in our city? How can that happen? It can happen. But if we have any shot at legitimate racial reconciliation, it's not going to work because of white guilt. It can't be driven by the need to get payback or to erase history or to remove flags. True racial reconciliation only comes, listen to me closely, through a heart change, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the cure for racism? Education can play a role. Familiarity with others can play a role. Even sports can play a role. But ultimately, those things will fall short because racism is not just a matter of the head, it's a matter of the heart. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Boy, it sure seems like we live in a world that is trying to find out just how bad and how wicked our hearts are. So the Bible makes it very clear, we don't have a skin problem. We have a sin problem. It's what's in our hearts that causes us to be this way. You know, one of the most powerful moments in the movie is when Coach Boone takes the team to a cemetery at Gettysburg to show them the high cost of hatred. Well, recently, I visited a grave that illustrates this kind of solution to hatred. I was in Africa, off the island, on the island of Zanzibar, which is off the coast of Tanzania. And there I visited the Memorial Church of David Livingstone. Now, David Livingstone was a missionary to Africa. And the church that is built as a memorial to him is located on top of the last known slave market in East Africa. So the church is built there, but they kept underneath the ground, there were these holding cells where they would keep slaves before they sold them, up to 100 slaves in a 20 by 20 space. And this is a picture of some of the people who were with me. And you can see these guys are sitting down. I mean, you had to duck over. It was a very small space. It was all cement. You know, they would be chained together. There was a hole in the wall because it was located near the coast where the tide would come in and wash away the feces of the slaves. And they had cut a channel in the middle of the floor to wash it away. Every one of the slaves would be beaten before they were sold, because the longer they could take a beating, the more they were worth. And I stood in that room, and I'm going to tell you that there's a heaviness that comes with that that's just amazing. To recognize that we have treated brothers and sisters in such an inhumane way. But the good news is that this church stands as a testimony that the slave trade ended in Africa. Because when you approach the church, I saw this sign. I took a picture of it, and I wanted to read it to you. It says, "Welcome to the Anglican Christ Church Cathedral, the former slave market site. You are now standing at the former slave market site, the world's last open slave market and notorious place where slaves from East and Central Africa regions were bought and sold. The trade in men, women, and children was stopped by decree from the Sultan of Zanzibar on 6 June 1873, following the appeal made by Dr. David Livingstone in 1857 to the men of the great English universities of Oxford and Cambridge to liberate Africa from slavery." Now, just pause for a second. First of all, this church and this sign is on an island that is 95% Muslim. So I was a little bit surprised this sign still stands. But this sign gives testimony that the slave trade in East Africa, or this slave market, was shut down specifically because of David Livingstone. And I stood in this church, and the altar where people would come to give their lives to Christ is the same place where the whipping post once stood. Amazing irony, isn't it? Where once people were bound by chains, now they're set free by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pretty amazing stuff. Do you realize that for the vast majority of the world, it was followers of Jesus who were responsible for abolishing slavery? Can I give you a quick history lesson? David Livingstone played a big role in Africa. William Wilberforce played a big role in England. He was a follower of Jesus. And in America, we know the names of Harriet Beecher Stowe and Henry Ward Beecher when it comes to abolitionists who proposed the abolition of slavery. Henry Ward Beecher was asked after the end of the Civil War, he said, "Sir, who abolished slavery in America?" Here's what he answered: "Reverend John Rankin did." Who's Reverend John Rankin? I asked the same question. Reverend John Rankin was one of the original founders of the Underground Railroad, and his writings concerning the abolition of slavery had a huge effect on the leaders of our country, the abolitionist leaders, including President Abraham Lincoln. Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that the cure for racism is Jesus Christ. The cure for prejudice is the gospel of Christ. Because at the core of racism, we find the sinful hearts of men and women living in a fallen world. Because this fundamental problem has no earthly cure. There's no speech that can be given, no law that can be passed, no publicity campaign that can solve this issue. It is a heart problem that it can only be solved by the power of God's word and God's Holy Spirit living inside of us, giving us victory over this sin. You say, "Pastor, I don't understand." Well, let me illustrate it to you this way. I've invited some members of our church family to join me. We're going to receive communion together up here on the stage, and I've asked them to join together with me because I want to illustrate to you that it's the body of Christ that erases our differences and brings us all together. It's through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, this is Beth and William and Daisy. Beth is from Africa. What country?
Kenya.
From Kenya. William, what country are you from?
Brazil.
From Brazil. And Daisy? From Mexico. And I'm Wayne from Indiana. Here's what we're going to do. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the Bible says he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." And he took the cup and he said, "Drink this. This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood, which was shed for you." And he says, "As often as you do it in remembrance of me." Can I tell you that in just a moment, what we're going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer of thanksgiving for the bread and the cup. And then each one of these spiritual family members, one blood, one team, are going to give thanks in their native language to illustrate to you that what brings us together is Jesus. Won't you take the bread, if you guys would? Go ahead. In the cup. Go ahead and grab it, you guys. I'll pray first. Lord, I thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for willingly laying down your life for me. I believe because your body was broken and your blood was shed that my sins and wickedness are forgiven and healed. Your death has given me life. And in the life you give me, I'm one with you and all those that are followers of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the bread that represents your body and this cup that represents your blood. I remember your sacrifice today and commit to you and my spiritual family to love and care for others as I love and care for myself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bwana Mungu nakushukuru sana kwa toleo lako. Asante kwa nia yako ya kutoa maisha yako kwa ajili yangu. Ninaamini ya kwamba dhambi zangu na ugonjwa zimesamehewa na zimeponywa kwa sababu mwili wako ulivunjwa na damu yako ilimwagika. Kifo chako kimenipatia maisha. Hii maisha ambayo unapeana imefanya nimekuwa moja nawe na pia na wale wote walio wafuasi wa Yesu Kristo. Asante Yesu kwa mkate huu unaofananishwa na mwili wako. Pia asante sana kwa hiki kikombe kinachofananishwa na damu yako. Leo ninakumbuka toleo lako. Leo pia ninajiaminisha kwamba kwako na kwa familia yangu ya kiroho kuwa nitawapenda ninavyojipenda na nitawatumikia ninavyojitumikia. Naomba haya yote nikiamini katika jina la Yesu Kristo. Amina.
Senhor, quero te adorar na beleza da tua santidade e te agradecer pelo seu sacrifício na cruz do Calvário. A sua boa vontade de morrer por nós deu-me vida. Eu te louvo e te agradeço pelo fato de que, creio, tu fostes quebrado e moído pelos meus pecados e pelas minhas enfermidades, e eles foram perdoados e sarados. Eu te agradeço, Senhor, por este pão que simboliza o corpo de Jesus Cristo, e por este cálice que simboliza o sangue vertido na cruz do Calvário. E nesta hora, relembrando este sacrifício, remidor, redentor, salvador, como fomos feitos por um só sangue, somos redimidos por um só sangue, eu assumo o compromisso de te honrar e de te servir por toda a minha vida, e juntamente com minha família espiritual, de cuidar uns dos outros, como eu cuido de mim e como eu amo a mim. Em nome de Jesus. Amém.
Senhor, te doy gracias por tu sacrificio. Gracias porque se establecen voluntariamente tu vida para mí. Creo porque tu cuerpo fue roto y el derramamiento de son tu sangre, que mis pecados y enfermedades son perdonadas y sanadas. Tu muerte me ha dado vida. En la vida que das soy uno contigo y todos aquellos que son seguidores de Jesucristo. Gracias por este pan que representa tu cuerpo y esta copa que representa la sangre. Recuerdo tu sacrificio hoy y me comprometo a usted y a mi familia espiritual a amar y a cuidar a los demás como me quiero y me preocupo por mí mismo. En el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until He comes. And there's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand.
You know, the reality is, I'll use this right here, sorry. The reality is that racism is just one of our sin problems. It's a symptom of so many other things, of sin. Now, we live in a culture that doesn't like to talk about sin very much, but the reality is it's real, and it's killing us. It's destroying our lives. The Bible says it this way, the wages of sin is death. So when we reject God's word and we reject God's plan, what we end up is destroying ourselves. The world is testifying to that even now. But aren't you glad for the gospel of Jesus Christ? I've been telling you for the last several minutes that the cure for racism is the gospel of Jesus. So let me tell you what the gospel is. Are you ready? Here's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first part of the gospel is this: all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 tells us that. Now, you say, Pastor, I'm not a bad person. You know, if I were to stand before God and he were to ask me why he should let me into heaven, I would say, because I'm a pretty good guy. Well, whenever anybody tells me that, I like to ask them a couple questions. Can I interview you to determine if you're really good? And they say, okay. So I ask them this question: have you ever lied one time? They think about it for a second, and they say, yeah. And what do we call people who lie? Liars. Now, other people, not you, right? And then I ask them the question: have you ever stolen anything, even anything small? And they'll say, well, yeah. What do we call people who steal things? Thieves. Okay? The Bible says if you look at another woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Don't answer that question. You know, but most people say, I've done that too. So you're a lying, thieving, adultery at heart. Not very good so far. And oh yeah, by the way, the Bible says if you've broken one of his commandments, you're guilty of all of them. So I'm trying to tell you, nobody's going to be able to stand before God and say, I should be into heaven because I'm a good guy. No, you're not good. That's why the gospel doesn't stop there. It goes on to say that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came to set us free from our sinfulness. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that while we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for us while we were racist. Christ died for us while we were haters. Christ died for us while we were liars and thieves. Come on, somebody. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, he says, I'll be saved. Saved from what? Saved from my wicked heart. Saved from eternal damnation. Following Jesus all my life with eternity in heaven. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes all over this room. I'm going to ask that nobody be moving. We're going to pray yet. We've got a couple things we're still going to do yet, but this is the most important thing we're going to do all day, and that's this. I want to ask you a simple question. Have you received Jesus Christ? Are you following Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Maybe as we were talking about racism today, your heart was convicted. Maybe about some of the things that you've said or you've done. Can I tell you, nobody's here to condemn you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm just pointing out the fact that we all need Jesus Christ. We all need to put our faith in him. I'm not talking about just believing that Jesus was a good guy. I'm talking about following him with your whole heart. And the reality is, I know there's some people here today that are looking around and you're seeing the world falling apart the way it is and say, man, I need Jesus. Well, guess what? Today is your day to choose Christ. Something I did when I was 9 years old, something that several people did here last week, it's something that it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, you can choose Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, I want you to put your hand up. All those people who would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to serve Christ. I recognize I'm not good. If my life were to be required from me or my soul were to be required of me, I'm just not sure I'd make it to heaven. Well, today, I want to pray with you that you will make it to heaven. So when I say three, in just a moment, hands are up all over this room. Pastor, just pray for me. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come front. I'm just going to pray for you and with you. If you're here today, when I say three, I want you to put your hand up. I want to pray for you and with you. One, I want you to listen to the Spirit of the Lord today. He's the one that's convicting you and challenging you because he loves you. Two, the Bible says today is the day of salvation, and so now's the accepted time. Listen to the voice of God. Put your hand up when I say three. I want to pray for you. Ready? One, two, three, put it up. Yes, 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 keep them raising them. Keep raising them, keep raising them, keep raising them. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Thank you so much. Keep raising them, keep them up for just a few more moments. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. The most important question you'll ever be asked is, is your heart right with God? Amen. I want to pray with every one of you that raised your hand, and everybody that would like to join with them, pray this prayer with me. All right? Not magic words, but the beginning of a relationship of following Christ. pray this prayer with me. All those who raise your hand and all those who want to pray with them as an encouragement. Pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I agree with you. I'm a sinner. I've broken your laws. I'm guilty. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. From this day forward, I put my faith in Jesus Christ to save me. I believe Jesus died on the cross as the result of my sin. And I put my faith in Jesus to save me. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power to serve you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody give God some praise for all of these who have just prayed. Praise God. I'd like to ask all of our pastors, our small group leaders, our elders, and their spouses to come join me up the front here in the area. What we're going to do next is we're going to have a time of prayer for everybody that would like to pray. So, leaders, if you would come right now and just stand all the way across the front. What we want to do, this is something we do at our church almost every Sunday. We believe that one of the best things we can do is pray for each other and pray with each other. And so if you have a need in your life of any kind, if just prayer for your family, maybe you're sick, you got a bad report from the doctor, maybe you're in financial trouble, you need a job, or you're just looking for direction, maybe there's just turmoil at your house, you just want somebody to pray for you and pray with you, that's all we want to do. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing a song or two. And again, I'm going to ask that no one leave. This is just for a few moments. You're going to come and just find one of these leaders, and they're going to pray for you, and they're going to pray with you. And I don't want anybody to leave because we've got some stuff to do after we pray here today. So why don't you stand, everybody across this room, stand if you don't mind. And if there is anything in your life that we can pray with you about, I want you to step out of your seat and come find one of these leaders right now. Go ahead and sing. If you have a need, all the way from the stadium seats on the floor, come forward. Let's pray together. Let's pray with you. Let's pray for you. We're going to believe God for His great power.
Say you're my brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will work until we come. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. Sometimes it's hard for me to understand why we pull away. Will change this world forever if you will join with me. Join and sing. You're my brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us.
I'm smiling because I look back there and there's this stormtrooper going. Hey, can we pray for our community today? Can we pray for our city? Let's pray. Lord, we pray for Johnson County, for this wonderful community that we live in. We thank you for the privilege of living here and working here and growing up here. And God, we pray for our city. We pray for our community. God, would you allow us to be part of breaking down barriers, breaking down walls? Would you help us to love each other as you have loved us? God, we pray that you would just remove prejudice and racism from our lips, from our attitudes, and from our hearts. God, forgive us for being part of any conversation or joke. And we pray, oh God, that you'd help us to make a difference. God, just like in the movie, when some people stood up and said they're going to be an example, I pray that we would be the example where we go to school, where we work, where we live. God, to reach out and to connect because we're all part of your family. We pray it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated for a moment. I want to encourage everybody, that connect card that you got when you came in, I want to encourage everybody to fill it out. And on that card, there is a couple places for you to mark, especially if you prayed with me to receive Christ. Please mark that. We'd like to get in contact with you and give you some information. There's a place where you want to check, where you want to learn more about getting baptized in water and those types of things. Now, if you don't have a Bible or you want some more resources about growing in your walk with God, on your way out today, there is a kiosk called Next Steps, okay? So on your way out, grab a Bible and some information. It'll help you in walking in your relationship with God, okay? So everybody turn in the Connect card, and on your way out as well, they're going to give you this wristband called One Team, Acts 17:26. It's the verse we use today. I'd like everybody to wear this today just as a symbol that we're one in Jesus Christ. We are one blood, one family, amen? And wear this all week long as you want to. And let's determine that we're going to live together. Somebody say amen. Amen. God bless you.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to see you today. Thank you so much for coming to Grace and sharing this time with us. I want to invite our ushers to come, if they would, right now and take their places. Every week at Grace, we take time out and we give to God. In fact, it's faithful giving that people have done for a long, long time that enable us to do great events like what you're attending today. When you leave today, we want to invite you to be sure and stay around for the tailgate party. The Colts experience is out there now and all set up. There's going to be hot dogs, hamburgers. We're going to go out there in just a minute. Lots of great things going on, so be sure and stay with us. Now, when you came in, you got a connection card that Pastor Wayne just talked about. Looks like this. We want everybody, if you would, to complete that card right now and drop it in the offering as it goes by. You say, well, Tim, I really don't care. I'm not going to put my name in there. I'm not going to drop an offering. Well, all of the prizes that we're giving out today, including IU football game tickets, including Colts clothing, shirts, t-shirts, IU stuff, all of that information is going to be given out through those cards. And so you need to fill it out, drop it in the offering. They're going to call your name outside at the tailgate party, and that's how you're going to get prizes, all right? Also, if you are here as a part of the football leagues, whether it's the Little League or high school, there's a place for you to mark your football team on the card, and the team that has the most representatives is going to get $500 for their team, all right? So be sure, mark your team on the connection card, drop it in the offering. We're going to announce that on our church's Facebook page. So if you go to our Facebook page, join the Facebook page, you'll see this afternoon which team gets the money. All right? So we're super glad that you're here. Thank you so much. All right. I want to invite the ushers to go ahead and again to collect the offering and the connection cards today. Thank you so much for doing that. While they're doing that, we're going to go live right now out to the tailgate party. Pastor Jason's out there. He's going to let us know about what's happening outside where you're getting ready to go. Take it away, Pastor Jason.
Hey guys, it is awesome out here. So much stuff going on. We have hamburgers, hot dogs. We have the Colts in Motion back there. And then way back there behind the white school bus back there, we have a contest for passing, punting, and kicking for Colts versus Texans tickets for those that throw the best game here. Hey, this is my buddy Thomas here. This is Derek. We have lots of prizes. We have Colts hats, Colts shirts. Derek, what else do we have?
We have lots of t-shirts, Pastor Jason. We have football gloves. We have a personal autograph poster of Justin Snow, former Colt player. We have backpacks and sweatshirts and candy stripe pants. We have a ton of stuff to give away.
Tons of stuff. So, hey, Thomas, what do you want to tell everybody?
Come on out.
Come on out. See you out here.
All right. Thanks, Pastor Jason. As you can see, they're having lots of fun. We're ready for you out there. We want to invite you back next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're going to be talking about the movie Mr. Banks, Saving Mr. Banks. You're going to get some invite cards as you go out. The usher's going to put those in your hands today, and that'll be a great blessing. Won't you stand with me? Before you leave this building, you got to give three people a high five. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.